Hello, good evening, and welcome to the Hologram Radio Show. My name is Cheryl Catherine Smith.
And I'm Ash Riot.
And together we are Hologram.
Hologram. Holo-gram.
Yes, don't forget the dash.
I do sometimes still. It's weird, like I'll be looking up our website and I'll, oh yeah, it's Holo-gram.
That's right, Holo-gram. That's us.
It's like Holo-ashgram.
You know how they say ashgram? Like an ashram.
Yeah. I know. I've had that. When people put my name as Ash Shram, I don't like it because the ashram. Like,
well, I think an ashram's pretty cool.
Okay.
Go to India and we can meditate.
Oh, that's fine. Ashram. I just don't like that ashram. My name ends on sh and starts on sh. I just don't like
it. Well, I'm a sh name. I'm a Cheryl.
Yeah, but Cheryl Catherine, not Cheryl Shathrin.
Cheryl Shelley Schneider. How about that one?
That'd be fun.
You like that name?
Cheryl Shelley Schneider.
Maybe I should professionally change it.
Wow. That'd be fun.
Cheryl Shelley Schneider. Say that 10 times in a row fast. Anyways, today is April the 20th, Sunday. Easter Sunday. So happy Easter to those of you who are celebrating. I hope the Easter Bunny was good to you. And for those of you who aren't, happy Easter or happy Sunday.
Happy Sunday, happy Easter.
Well, our title for this show is
The Resurrection of Resurrection.
That's right. The Resurrection of Resurrection, because we're just honoring this holiday time, and we're going to talk a little bit about it. But first, we want to start our show with our latest single, because it seems really quite suiting and
quite fitting
for this show. So here you go, folks. Here's I'm Back.
Flies the highway, I'll pass you like grass. In my dusty trail of your regrets, you see I'm far from easily done yet.
So that was the Hologram song, I Am Back. We are Hologram. This is a Hologram radio show. If you're just tuning in now, we're talking about resurrection. And our show topic is the resurrection of resurrection.
Yay, we're really quite excited. Even though you're listening to this, and we must state now, it's a pre-record. So this show you are listening to right now is not live. So you cannot call in and talk to us about, well, anything.
But you can call in our next show. Tell them about our next show. 2 weeks from today, which is May the 5th, is our next live show.
I think it's the 4th.
Oh, no, the 4th. That's right. Sorry. The 4th.
So the 4th.
Sunday.
May 4th, which is a Sunday, we're having a great show where we're going to actually do readings.
Yeah, it's called Readings and Reflections. So we're going to do live readings for free. We promised this a few shows back, and because of circumstance, couldn't deliver until next time. So mark your calendars, everybody. Sunday, March 4th, 7 p.m. PST. Come back on the Hologram Radio Show and join us, and we would be happy to give you a live reading. The call-in numbers will be provided to you.
Yes, we're quite excited about that. I don't know. I just really am excited about that. I'm speaking for you, too, but I really like connecting with people that I have not met before, and, you know, or if I've met them before, that I haven't done a reading for them.
It's a lot easier for, I know for me, and I've talked to many other readers, it's easier to give readings to people you don't know than it is to people that you do.
It's true.
Yeah.
Because you already are familiar with their energy, and it's easy to kind of...
Well, plus I think it's harder for people to think when you know them well that you're not kind of just going into the resources of your past history.
Yeah, that's true.
And finding things, you know, that you're bringing forth. So, it's really a lot of trust and working with spirit and bringing the answers to the questions that you currently have in your life. And it's so cool when people who are considered strangers can do that, because then you know there's something that connects you, there's something that's working behind the scenes, and it's kind of a, you know, raising the hair on your arms or the back of your neck kind of experience. So join us, and we would be happy to provide you with soul edifying readings. That's the way we work. We don't go for anything dark. It's always about the light.
And that's what I like about doing readings, is it's a lot of people are kind of expecting spooky or, you know, really, you know, paranormal kind of.
Well, it is paranormal.
Well, you know, paranormal.
By the definition.
Yeah, by like, you know, the shows, you know, the green light and the black, you know, illuminating the face, that kind of spooky.
Yeah, and we promise that our eyes will not be turning green while we're doing the readings.
I How's promise. That? Yep. Well,
or they won't look like reptile eyes.
Your eyes look a little green sometimes, though.
Well, it's because they're brown, but they're kind of hazily brown, so they change color.
Good point.
Ears are always blue.
Yeah, true enough. True enough.
Blue like the sky, love.
Yep.
All right, so getting back to our show, Resurrection of Resurrections. Now, for those of you who know me and have heard the show before, you know that I love Joseph Campbell. And Joseph Campbell speaks a lot about myth and mythology. And we've done shows in the past about myth and mythology based on Joseph Campbell, some of his quotes. But I wanted to start this particular show with this quote, since it's pertaining to our topic of resurrection, as well as this particular weekend, which is Easter weekend, where we're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And this is from his book, Thou Art That. It's on page 112 to 113. Once again, Joseph Campbell, if you wanted to find his books or look for the series that he has with Bill Moyers, I would highly suggest that you do that and do some study and do some research around mythology, because he's a very wise, very insightful man. So here is his saying that pertains to this subject. If we think of the crucifixion only in historical terms, we lose the reference of the symbol immediately to ourselves. Jesus left his mortal body on the cross, the sign of the earth, to go to the Father with whom he was one. We, similarly, are to identify with the eternal life that is within us. The symbol at the same time tells us of God's willing acceptance of the cross, that is to say, of participation in the trials and sorrows of human life in the world, so that he is here within us, not by way of a fall or a mistake, but with rapture and joy. Thus the cross has a dual sense, one, our going to the divine, and the other, of the divine coming to us. It is a true cross-ing. What has always been basic to resurrection, or Easter, is crucifixion. If you want to resurrect, you must have crucifixion. Too many interpretations of the crucifixion have failed to emphasize that. They emphasize the calamity of the event, and if you emphasize calamity, then you look for someone to blame. That is why people have blamed the Jews for it. But it is not a calamity if it leads to new life. Through the crucifixion, we are unshelled. We are able to be born to resurrection. That is not a calamity. We must look freshly at this so that its symbolism can be sensed. St. Augustine speaks of going to the cross as a bridegroom to his bride. There is an affirmation here. In the Prado is a great painting by Titian of Simon of Cyrene as he willingly helps Jesus with the cross. The picture captures the human participation, the free, voluntary participation we all must have in the Easter Passover mystery.
That's really cool. I think Joseph Campbell definitely hits the nail on the head there, where he's talking about the crossing rather than just the cross, because I've always thought that the cross can, you know, it brings Christians a lot of strength and a lot of different faiths a lot of strength, but I think that it's kind of a violent symbol too, because Jesus died on it.
Yes, and I think it's really important to emphasize that Joseph Campbell's work is always about basically opening up the myths and the stories of mythology. And so he's talking about this particular story, the story of Jesus and the crucifixion, and he's saying the necessity of us to recognize the resurrection as having to have the crucifixion in this particular way. And I personally think it's a really great analogy in terms of even our own lives, when we have what we could probably see as traumatic or tragic events. So that could be our metaphorical crucifixion. And in order to resurrect ourselves, meaning that we are re-inspired, that we become anew in our maybe even wanting to be alive and to enjoy this life after such hardship. So I think that that's interesting. I think we can take that kind of a story in the way that Campbell has deciphered it and place it into our own lives.
Oh yeah, for sure. I really like that he seems to talk about, you know, the true spirituality more than religious spirituality. And I like that about him.
But he's also very unjudgmental. Mm-hmm. Non-judgmental is probably the correct term.
Yeah.
He just basically states whatever anything is said. And this is why I think he's so great. This is why I encourage others to look more into him if they haven't already. Because a lot of us are kind of caught up in our own prejudices. You know, if we're raised a certain religion or a certain way of thinking or a certain way of believing, and we don't question any of it, then we just basically kind of go through our lives indoctrinated. And people like Campbell allow us to see a particular story or a particular belief system in a new way.
Yeah.
And I like that. I think it's imperative that we all question and you know, and then just keep what resonates with us.
Exactly. I agree with that. I agree a lot with that. I think that you've had a lot more experience reading a lot of these philosophers and scholars than I have, but I've kind of dug more into resurrection and stuff through music, and, you know, I've always been really attracted to it, like, especially last year, well, I guess almost a year to the day, when we saw Ghost and Ides of Gemini, and I really like their, I think their album is called Constantinople, but a main theme through the whole album is resurrection.
Yeah, and I was even saying to Ash that we should play Resurrection by Ides of Gemini, but we're concerned about copyright stuff.
Yeah, so if you want to listen to a great song and see some great lyrics, look up the song Resurrectionists by Ides of Gemini on YouTube. It's really great.
Yeah, and have a listen and see their perspective on resurrection.
Their interpretation is probably the most accurate that has rang true for me.
I agree. I am in agreement there.
Yeah, for sure. I really, really like
that. That's why Ash is always on their Facebook page liking what they say.
And then they'll like one of my comments, and I'm like, oh,
you're excited like a little schoolgirl. It's wonderful. They're a very cool band from California, from LA.
I know. I'm really, really into everything that they've stood for. And, you know, even when there's a moon or something, like a new moon or a blood moon, they're always posting pictures and comments about it, so
kind of like us.
Yep.
Maybe go. That's why we like them.
Yeah, they're...
Here's an example of liking attracting likes.
Yeah, for sure.
Quite literally with the Facebook likes.
Mm-hmm.
So talk more a little bit about your own personal belief system around resurrection. Perhaps it's even changed throughout your life, you know, from when you were younger to now.
Well, I didn't really understand that we could apply the term resurrection to daily life rather than just reading it in a Bible. I don't think a lot of people who have been sheltered by religion or certain beliefs or having to fit into a certain box have had the chance to really see that. I mean, I grew up in a Christian school, which I'm grateful for because I got sheltered from a lot of things that probably would have desensitized me. And I had to stay sensitive, I think, for a lot of reasons in my life. So it was really important that I went to a Christian school. But it also really got me thinking a certain way, and it also helped me start thinking for myself. You know, I wasn't necessarily becoming a sheeple. I was understanding that I wasn't a sheep. I wasn't one of them. And I'm not saying that in a negative way. I just certainly wasn't part of their flock. But I took the main principles of Christianity, like to love one another and, you know, just the philosophy and not the rules of Christianity. I respected that. And so when I would read about resurrection and things like that, I always thought that resurrection just pertained to Jesus. I thought that it was all about, you know, the crucifixion, the resurrection, the praise of God and things like that. And I'm not religious at all, but I am super spiritual. So I saw firsthand that I could take the term resurrection from the Christian school, from the Christianity, and see resurrections daily, see resurrections in so many different ways. I mean, you talk about people, even in the media, you hear it, people are making a comeback doing this or doing that. And I think that those are forms of small
resurrections. Yeah, it's true. I agree with you. And you're talking about their Jesus, you know, having that connection between Jesus and resurrection. But in fact, in ancient history and throughout the ages, there are many examples of resurrections. And I'm just going to name 12. This is other than Jesus Christ.
Cool.
Because this goes back to, you know, the ancient Greeks.
I don't even know this.
Samaria, to all over, you know, all over the world and all throughout history. So you've got Dionysus, who was the ancient Greek god of wine and divine madness. He had a resurrection. Persephone, who was the daughter of the Greek goddess Demeter. Osiris, who was an Egyptian god, and that's quite a lengthy story if you want to look him up. It's very interesting. Odin, which is the chief god of Norse mythology. Ganesha, which is one of the most recognizable gods of the Hindu pantheon due to his elephant head. You know, the elephant face?
My mom's scared of those.
Very cool story.
I don't know why.
Another, I mean, this is, again, it was Joseph Campbell. I mean, I went to university and I studied ancient art, and it kind of connects a lot to mythology, but I never got into mythology until I actually was exposed to Campbell well after my university time. So I find mythology fascinating because I also see a lot of how it applies to our current times. We kind of relegate mythology to, oh, well, it's over there and they were stupid back then. It's almost like we kind of, you know, treat the ancient peoples as if they were ignorant, when I think it's, in fact, the other way around. I think we're stupid, quite frankly.
I agree.
And that the ancient world, you look back to the Egyptians, they know more than we know about science. It's being proven, you know, science, they're seeing more and more now as they read the hieroglyphics. They understand the placing of the temples and the placing
Wasn't that kind of the same thing with they're finding out that Jesus did have a wife?
Well, this is a whole different thing. That's not Egyptian. I'm talking Egyptian.
Oh.
Yeah, you're going off into, you know, another Jerusalem.
It all is the same to me.
So, I mean, I'm going to read on the list. We've got Finnish mythology. We've got Lemminkainen, who resurrected. We've got Tammuz, who was a Sumerian god of vegetation. Krishna, right? The incarnation of the god Vishnu. We've got Attis, who is a Pherian god who later entered the Greek and Roman pantheons as the partner to the goddess Cybele. We've got another god, I can't even pronounce his name, Quetzalcoatl, and from Mesoamerica, and Adonis and Mithras. And Mithras, his resurrection, there's a lot of Christian platforms that are, there's one atheistic platform that says that Mithras is the same as Christ, therefore they're kind of eradicating the idea of Christ because it's basically saying that Christ, the Christians, stole the Mithraic story. But that's not in fact true, because Mithras wasn't born of a virgin. He was came out of rock, a cavern. And his resurrection, though, is akin to the renewal and the resurrection of the sun. It's not literal. Like, Jesus' resurrection was literal, that his body died and he resurrected. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just, the whole point of that is just to introduce those of you who don't know, including myself, I didn't know some of these, to the idea of resurrection. These are all stories that have gone through centuries and centuries of human existence talking about resurrection. So why is resurrection a common story throughout the ages? What is it that resurrection means? I think that's the thing we need to kind of touch upon or you know, look at.
I think it's also, to be quite honest, you know how people, basically a lot of them don't even spend time living because they're thinking about what comes after, about the death and everything like that. It's almost, to me, like a fascination. Like, resurrection is a fascination, because the biggest fear that many people have is death. So they're thinking, wow, there's actually something that can wipe out death altogether, resurrection. I think it's been largely a fantasy of many people, is resurrection.
But I mean, I think also that a lot of our fantasies are actually proven realities. Mm-hmm. And so this is why I'm saying we need to touch upon that and even ask ourselves this question. It's not to say that we have the answer. Mm-hmm. I think it's important with all of this that we just ask the question.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the times the answers don't present themselves immediately.
I agree.
Sometimes the answers, you know, present themselves at a later date in your life. And if you are a Buddhist or a Hindu or a Jainist, resurrection comes in the form of karma. And the reason why I brought that up at this point is because karma in that philosophy is, you know, the philosophy in a nutshell is good things happen to good people, bad things happen to bad people. But the resurrection of karma doesn't mean that you're actually, it happens in this lifetime. So if you're mm-hmm. a bad person in this lifetime, it doesn't mean karma is going to get you in this lifetime. What the philosophy of karma is that in the future lifetimes, you will reap the consequences of your bad behavior, right? Mm-hmm. Which in my mind seems kind of a bit of a
slap in the face.
Well, it's kind of like, I want to be responsible in this lifetime. I don't want to, you know, if I was a shit in my last time, lifetime, I don't want to be suffering this lifetime.
I don't
if
think
it's things, not in my awareness, right?
I don't think things carry on quite as black and white as that. I think that there's a lot of expectations that I think we as humans have that are not black and white. Like, I mean, I used to think, especially the school that I was brought up in, it's good equals good, bad equals bad, like you say. But, I mean, I stood up for myself, and many times in my life when I was kind of under that Christian umbrella, and I soon saw that that me standing up and speaking out and not being, you know, the good kind of girl that sits down and just, you know, is a book learner, I saw that it was much more rewarding and positively beneficial than just kind of keeping things quiet and keeping things very under control. I think that chaos and disarray can definitely benefit. And I was kind of taught that if I kept things under control, that that was a good deed.
Oh, yeah, no matter what.
Exactly,
no
matter what.
I can see that in your family history.
Yeah, and I'm not even talking about family. It's school. That's what I learned in school.
But I think most of us are taught that. That's in my family history.
But mine was almost like
don't rock the boat.
But mine was almost
don't ask too many questions.
But mine was almost a religious obligation. Like, you know, having the Bible kind of forced down your throat, which I'll say right now, I don't like the Bible. I think that a lot of people who need structure can find it in there, but that structure can turn detrimental pretty quickly.
Yeah, but it's filled with contradictions.
Mm-hmm.
It's filled with a lot of darkness. I mean, what kind of a God would be a hateful God?
Or fear God.
Yeah, I mean,
he's supposed to be your best friend, but be afraid of him.
I don't think that, you know, any being or any energy of pure love has the ability
mm-hmm.
to be hateful and dark.
I
think
agree.
It's just impossible. So, you know, that in and of itself should make someone question. I'm not saying eradicate it altogether, because I know there's some beautiful stories in there. I like the Psalms, and, mm-hmm. and there's some really beautiful stories.
There's great things in there,
I appreciate, but I think it's important that I know that many people take these books. I'm going to include others as well, holy books, so-called holy books, as the Word of God, quite literally. And I think that you have to be careful with that, because if you take something as the Word of God, that immediately closes you off. And then there's nothing else. How can you expand? You know, how can any expansion help happen? How can any growth happen? You're not going to grow. It's stagnant because you're saying, this is it. That's it. This is the Word of God. There is no other Word of God. And to me, that's preposterous, because how could that be true? How can you have something that's that stagnant? Because energy in life is always about change. And so we have to see holy and sacred things also. Mm-hmm. As part of the flow of change. Mm-hmm. And what served someone 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years ago doesn't necessarily serve today. Mm-hmm. However, there are certain things that are constant from 5,000 years ago mm-hmm. to today. For example, our need for love, our need for inspiration, our need for sustenance, you know, if you take mm-hmm. it physically, like your food and your shelter. But again, like this, the importance of resurrection to me, and I was talking about this, you know, bringing it to today, why is it important, is because it speaks to me of hope. Mm-hmm. And it says that things truly don't just end. It's about change. So the only thing that is constant is change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
So it's not about an ultimate ending, the finale, the end, it's over, kaput. Resurrection is about a continuation. It's about a change, a transformation.
That's a healthier way to look at it, too, rather than just, like I was talking about, like just religiously, like just Jesus-oriented.
Well, that's how I'm seeing it even in my own life, and this mm-hmm. is what we're talking about in the show, is we're talking about how it applies. How can we take the wisdom of the ages and apply it to our current modern selves? How can we apply it in a positive way? One that brings us edification, one that brings us a sense of purpose. And I think that that's where resurrection is for me. It's just, it's about change and allowing change.
And understanding that you will be taken care of. And a lot of people just think, oh yeah, I'm not gonna be, you know, putting my faith in something that I can't see and whatever. How can you say things are going to be fine? Like, this marriage ended, or, you know, I had to move, or, you know, or I was fired, or something like that. And
a lot of my best friend died, or yeah. my parents died, or my child died, or all these things that are really horrifically tragic when you're in the experience of them. So how can those type of experiences become resurrections for us? And I think this is what we were saying earlier about questioning, taking things and looking at them in different ways, kind of holding it up to a light and turning it.
But we have to get out of our own way.
All of us do. And that's true. Get out of our own way so that we can see.
Because we just over-worry and overthink, and then
just overanalyze.
It's easy to get over-emotional. It's easy to get depressed. And then we kind of have to get out of that in order to see anything clearly, because you can't. That's what I think.
We're all so similar, mm-hmm. and I think this is what we forget. We kind of look at each other as quite different and trying to understand and figure each other out, but the fact is that there are basic similarities that are the crux of us all, and we need to remember that. Everybody has fear, everybody has love, everybody has needs, wants, mm-hmm. desires, hopes, dreams, and pain.
I agree. And we all are unified. We have a stronger unity than we're taught to believe, but there's so many examples every day. I mean, you see it in the media, you see it, you know, through whatever forms of media too, newspapers, TV, radio. You just hear about how people are at each other's throats, and you forget that you're all similar, and, well, actually, that's just like our song, The Fusion. So we're gonna
But you know what I was thinking as we're talking is we might just want to wrap this up fairly soon, and we could just leave them with all our songs.
Yeah, I was gonna.
This is an Easter Sunday, and, you know, this is a day of rest, reflection, resurrection. It truly is the day of resurrection. Let's just kind of kick back and You guys can listen to the singles we have out on iTunes.
Yeah, we won't have time to play them all, but we'll put a few random ones in there for you.
Yeah, yeah. And that being said, I just want to leave you with this story. This is from LiveScience.com. Ancient accounts tell us of an important figure whose birth would be heralded by a star in the heavens, a god who would later judge the dead. He would be murdered in a betrayal by one close to him, his body hidden away, though not for long, as he would return in a miraculous resurrection to begin an eternal reign in heaven. To his legions of followers, he and his resurrection came to symbolize the promise of eternal life. The figure, Osiris, was the supreme god in ancient Egypt, only one of the many pagan gods worshipped thousands of years before the birth of Jesus. Indeed, though Jesus is currently the best-known example of a resurrected figure, he is far from the only one.
That's really cool. And also, one last thing I want to touch upon is pay attention, like I said, to the media, but in this case, about resurrections. Cheryl was telling me right before we started recording the show that there was even a new TV show.
Yes.
About resurrections.
It's actually called Resurrection. It's an ABC show. It's an American series, fantasy series. And it started, the first episode was in March, last month.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting. Pay attention to what's happening around you because everything consciously, subconsciously is connected. So pay attention to what's going on in your own lives,
mm-hmm.
surrounding resurrections, surrounding states of miracles, whatever
there's
it is.
There's resurgence of so much that has gone unsaid and unseen for too long.
That's right. And we're all tapping in, even if we don't know. And it's especially prevalent in our art.
Get out of your own way.
We love you. Kiss a tree. Enjoy our hologram songs. Don't forget our next show, May 5th. We're going to do live readings, so give us a call. Take care.
Happy Easter.
Bye.
I've been duped, I've been spiked, I'm not treated like I'm like, though you speak such flowery words to me. I'm sucker number 93. You tell me that you most like me, say you want to. I'm sucker number 93. I asked my friends if they seen you out of my way to drive by two. I'm not stuck in wondering why you gave sweet kisses with your lies. I'm not obsessed, I'm just confused. I cannot help but feel quite used. I pretend that I don't care. My heart's messed up, I'm well aware. I've been duped, I've been spiked. I'm not treated like I'm liked. Though you speak such flowery words to me. I'm sucker number 93. Too perfect and well on. Ladies, I'll ask for your charms. I was hoping you'd be true, but I just stepped on number 92. Another cliche guy, I'm sick of asking why or why. It is simply what you do. Step on a heart so you can prove. I've been duped, I've been spiked. I'm not treated like I'm like. Though you speak such flowery words to me. I'm sucker number 92. I'm sucker number 93. Aren't you sick and tired of all these games. I'm sucker number 93.
universe encompasses me, beneath the stars above the sea. Enthralled, immersed, watching you, knowing I have a part in this too. Faithlessly watching, wait for dim eyes, severing my old earthly disguise. Enthralled, immersed, watching you, knowing we have a part in this too. This is a world of illusion, so I honor all delusion. Be not vapid with exclusion, bring all love in for the fusion. Watch the wind blow power out, stronger than what we were about. Unto me the forgotten thieves pressed upon these autumn leaves. Angelic hosts be known to us, falling faster than we trust. Watch the circles born of light, speaking while we're all up. In a world of illusion, it serves us, yet we must come back to love. The love revolution is within each and every one of us. A knowing, a higher understanding, we all embrace it. All we have to do is accept the love fusion and say yes. crystal ship has sailed through. The glass of feathers ruffled true. Life as I know is gone by again. I call to you, my fettered friend, and ask forgiveness, good light and love. These things do not come from up above, but from within and all around. The world is made of me, it's clown. Joy no longer divided. We all are one sided. So come on, baby, write it. Hound in it, we're united. We are united. Joy no longer divided. Cleanse my tattered sins from the beginning and back again. Help me not to see the end, for it does not exist, my bitter friend. Release the hounds and horses' screams. Let the sound of shivers breathe. Crying gone and love for sale. I am a knight of castles veiled. Join no.
Blushing bright, await the end of an endless night and watch you sleep with powder in my eyes. Seamless time will not prevail. All I am and all that's failed. Without within, I am a dead. I peel through windows as you wear. gentle lady, summer breeze. Your white shadow is what I see. I come to you and wish you'd know this visage veil of what had to go. You held my heart within your box. You did prevail, sly as a fox. Enamored well, couldn't let you be. I felt your cells deep inside of me. As I was, but as I am, sweet cooing dove, I whisper soft, sweet something's near, my bits of love tangle in your hair, my bits of love tangle in your hair, my bits of love tangle in your hair. Bits of love tangle in your hair. Had to go, this had to go.